You know, Jimmy, one thing that you and I also talked about last week that I think we should do again as a service to our radio listeners, and that's this absolutely ridiculous situation that is caused by the Project Veritas conundrum that's going on. You want to summarize that, please?
Yeah, so Project Veritas, kind of organized by James O'Keefe. He's had a lot of success in the past by undercover sting journalism, outlining some corruption. One of the groups that his first kind of claim to fame was a group called Acorn that was supporting the Obama administration, and they were basically fraudulently manipulating voters in elections, and there were some illegal things that are happened. He brought that out through investigative journalism. Since then, he's grown. He gets a lot of information on tech. He's got people out that actually he tries to encourage people to be whistleblowers and step out. And he puts journalists undercover in different organizations, at Facebook, for example, and at Google and some of these other groups where people have gone undercover. They talk to senior leadership. One of them was with Pfizer just recently. And he highlights very important issues that people need to see. And this is the way 60 Minutes used to work. This is the way a lot of journalism used to work. However, it's going against the narrative because a lot of people claim he's just a conservative outlet fighting for conservative principles. Basically, he's fighting for transparency, in my view. And what happened here recently was Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's daughter, she either left her diary in a house that she moved from, or somebody took that diary. Some of that information was put out prior to the November election last year. Project Veritas had information on that diary. They tried to investigate it. They didn't publish it because they couldn't verify whether it was factual or even belonged to her. But the bottom line, they knew they had it. They reached out to the Justice Department, to local authorities to say they had it, to try and verify it. The FBI, under the Merrick Garland Department of Justice, just raided a journalist, James O'Keefe's apartment, and two other journalists' apartments a couple of days before in order to find that information related to that diary. And that diary, the information in the diary, actually paints Joe Biden in a very bad light with how he handled his children, to the point of actual maybe some abuse. So now we have Merrick Garland's Department of Justice, the FBI, conducting a raid on a journalist that had information that they did not publish that may make this administration look bad. They handcuffed James O'Keefe at his apartment, according to his statements. They had multiple agents there, that he was half-dressed, and then they searched his apartment. A federal judge, they collected cell phones. I'm sorry, the FBI collected cell phones. A federal judge actually had to intervene and told the FBI to stop collecting information from his cell phones as they review this case because it is so apparent an abuse of power by Department of Justice for political ends. And to top that off, and this is what is most disturbing, almost immediately after they confiscated this information from James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, somebody from the FBI or in that investigation leaked it to the New York Times about information, privileged information, from a lawsuit that Project Veritas has against the New York Times, and the New York Times published that data. This is beyond belief. It's beyond criminal. It's beyond acceptable by a Western society to watch this happen with our Justice Department. Me living in the Republic of Georgia, me living in Albania, me serving in former Soviet countries, I did not see this level of influence and corruption without somebody pushing back, even in those countries. It is crazy. It is crazy what is happening right now with the Department of Justice.
Well, it's more than a little crazy, as they're going way overboard. But let's talk about another issue that we discussed briefly last week, and that teams up with this one very, very well. the authoritarian stance that the executive office is taking right now. Now, the judicial system, which was created within the system of checks and balances of U.S. government, as was the Congress, et cetera, you got three branches of power. You've got the executive branch, you got the Congress, and you've got the judicial branch. And the fact of the matter is, that's the administrative branch. And the fact of the matter is that the judicial branch has said it is unconstitutional. You cannot force employers who have more than 100 employees involved with their companies. You cannot force those people, those organizations, to force their employees to immunize. And Biden said, don't worry about what they're saying. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying as the President of the United States, and of course I'm paraphrasing here, what Joe Biden is saying, the fact of the matter is we got to stop this COVID thing. I know how to do it best, period. Immunization within organizations that have 100 or more employees must be mandatory, even though the judicial system does not agree with that. What are your comments on that one? That one's pretty blatant, Jim.
Well, there's so many areas where they're ignoring judicial process and the separate but equal branch of our court system. You know, the legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government were designed to balance each other. And this administration is tilting that balance. And there are a tremendous number of people that are supporting that and not questioning it, including members of the legislative branch and members of the judicial branch that are actually supporting some of these policies without actually standing up against them. If they can't stand for their own separate but equal branch of government, then we will be doomed as a nation, because the fundamental principle of our system of governance to ensure we do not get tyrannical leadership is the system of checks and balances. Ignoring it is dangerous. And what this administration has done time and time again, there are numerous instances of it on border issues, on a whole number of issues. They've just ignored and pushed forward. And they're just going based on mob rule. And again, that's what we talked about initially in the show with Rittenhouse, where you're using the media and you're using public opinion in a twisted way to engineer society in order to achieve your political ends. And it's incredibly dangerous.
Well, if you don't think it's incredibly dangerous, all you have to do is look at what happened just a few months ago in Seattle in the CHOP. Notice I said more than 1 month ago. It was a while back. It happened last summer, actually, which is about a few months ago. Now, having said that, look what happened there. Look what's happened in Wisconsin. Look what's happened in Portland, Oregon right now. It's absolutely abysmal for the future of our country. Jimmy, wrap it up, if you would. We got 2 minutes. 1 minute.
Yeah, the crime rate in major urban Democratic-run cities is out of control. I will say this. The media is centered in these areas. You know, we've got L.A., basically since New York, D.C., Boston, Seattle, San Francisco. Those are the key influence areas, because the media is centered in headquartered in most of those areas. They live in a complete bubble from reality. They live in a world that they don't see the rest of the country in. And, you know, the rest of the country is not living that way, but we see a tremendous amount of problems in these same areas. And the media is just basically, you know, gaslighting people and saying, well, there's not a problem. And then they're blaming on conservatives or Republicans or white supremacists. You know, that's the biggest issue right now. It's white supremacy, and everything is about race and destructive. And what they don't realize is that a big portion of America does not think nor live that way. And you know, they're going on about their lives, and eventually it's going to come up to them. And this is what happened in Virginia with the election last week, and you know, some of the impact in New Jersey, where you know, a truck driver beats out the Senate leader in the New Jersey legislature, you know, with spending no money. People are pushing back. They're going to push back, which is why I have hope this nation will survive, and we will continue to go through this struggle right now, but we've got to stop it. But eventually we'll get things back to where they're balanced. I'm hoping to see that soon.
Yeah, what you're saying is we hope this nation survives in the manner that it was actually created. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get some comments. We'll be back with you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.